After a long, hard day's work, tribes of wandering Israelites would sit around the campfire and entertain each other with old stories about how their ancestors had gotten the best of their enemies. And sometimes these stories were funny, sometimes they were not. Sometimes they gave everybody a laugh, even though you heard them over and over again. And it was like a family reunion when people say, "Remember when we visited Grandma and Grandpa on the farm long ago that summer, we all went skinny dipping in the pool, and the goat ate our clothes, and we tried to get back to the farmhouse wearing leaves, but the wind blew the leaves away, and Grandma caught us sneaking upstairs butt naked." Stories like that. The story of Jacob and Esau is one of those old family campfire stories. If you are an Israelite, you know what animosity there is between us Israelites and our enemies and distant cousins, those grubby, hairy, smelly Edomites. Our sneaky, brilliant ancestor Jacob really put one over on Esau. Esau's the father of the Edomites. He tricked Esau out of his entire inheritance with nothing but a bowl of red beans and rice. What a schlemiel Esau was. Those Edomites are so stupid, we really fixed them. And that's what that old Jacob and Esau story is all about. And everybody around the campfire got a chuckle no matter how many times they would hear that story, because it was one of their old favorites. In our gospel today, Luke tells us a Jesus story that if you are a bit of a Bible scholar, you know that Luke picked this up from Mark's gospel. This is Mark's story, but both Matthew and Luke borrow it from Mark. And Mark tells it as part of his Mark in secret, in which of all the saints and apostles around Jesus and his earthly ministry, nobody but the demons have wits enough to see that Jesus is the Son of God. There's a bit of humor in that. And if you've been in EFM or Sunday school class or midweek Bible seminars with me, then you know about this Mark in secret, and you know that it is a key part of Mark's very subtle agenda of inspiring you as a hearing Christian to go out and proclaim Jesus as the Son of the living God. And so this is Luke's gospel and the story of Demon Legion. And I like to call this story D.L. and the Pigs. And D.L. and the Pigs are so droll that it would be funny except for the pathos of this frightening man who is roaming the graveyard, the man who was mentally ill, obviously, and also those poor Gentile villagers, swine herders who've lost their pigs and now have nothing to eat and no way to make a living, and they want Jesus gone. And there's even humor in that. Now, a joke is not funny. A joke is not funny if you tell it and nobody laughs, and I noticed that you did not laugh when I read the gospel. And it's not funny if you have to explain it and say, "Get it, get it." And I ask you if you got it and you didn't get it. So listen. This is an old story. It's an inside story. It's an inside joke, an insider joke. The story of D.L. and the Pigs is droll, sly, political humor. And it's just as fresh today as a 2,000-year-old loaf of bread, which is to say it's gone a bit stale. And so that's why you don't understand it. Let me see if I can competently explain why this story would have been funny when Jesus did it 2,000 years ago. And then I'll try to draw a little bit of a gospel message out of it for this morning. D.L., Demon Legion, this crazy guy with the demons, tells Jesus his name is Legion. And his name's not Legion. That's part of the political joke. A legion was a Roman army unit of 5,000 to 6,000 soldiers, and these legions were organized into smaller units. For example, a unit of 100 soldiers would have been called a century, and that would have been commanded by a centurion, and there were various ranks of centurions. At Palestine, where Jesus lived, the Holy Land that was given to the Jews by God long, long ages ago was occupied by these legions of Roman soldiers, Gentiles, pagans. And on those foreign assignments, when the soldiers would come down from Europe to this Holy Land, they would bring their wives and their children and their families, and it would constitute an army of occupation that the Judeans considered stupid, evil, unclean, pork-eating Gentile pigs. And they had a settlement across the Sea of Galilee in Gerasa, land of the Gerasenes. Jesus casting out legions is a subtle political statement about the Messiah. He will throw these Roman pigs out of the Holy Land, and that the stupid Roman pigs rush into the sea and drown themselves is supposed to be hilarious, but it is told so subtly that if the Romans hear the story, they won't get it, just as you didn't get it. Now, you get it? If you were living there in Jesus' time, and you hear the story about D.L. and the pigs, you will see the power of Jesus on several levels. And as a Jew, you will be encouraged that this Roman occupation of the Holy Land will soon be driven out. And you're going to get a good laugh out of that, or at least a chuckle, no matter how many times you hear this story. And that's what you're meant to laugh at. Now, here's the gospel, and it brings us to the gospel, which is the good news. And the good news is that Jesus comes to bring sanity and peace and calm into your life today. Jesus comes to be with you, even comfort you in your sorrow. Jesus comes to give you a ground of sanity, somewhere to go, someone to turn to in prayer in times of trouble and sorrow, sickness, and any kind of need. Jesus comes to set you free from your own demons of sin. And even though the notion of sin is out of fashion today, I tell you that sin is just as real today as it was in Jesus' day. But Jesus forgives your sins. I'm here to tell you today that your sins are forgiven. Jesus comes loving you in spite of who and what you are, in spite of your sins, to show you that God loves you and to bring you the promise, the assurance of salvation to everlasting life. This is the gospel, and it is no joke. I proclaim this to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.